The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
It is our third and final hour together today on this Tuesday, the 19th day of October. Glad you are here. There is a reason why I am so glad to have my friend Tom Giovanetti on the show so often, and my friend Buddy Matthews, and why it's such a joy to hang out with them. It's because over there at the Institute for Policy Innovation, IPI.org, they'd be one of my favorite think tanks in America, even if they weren't local, even if they weren't friends of mine. But hey, as it just so happens, they are. And they also do fantastic events. And here comes one. We're talking 3 days from now, Friday, wrap up the week. I can't imagine a better way to do it, and that's by a wonderful, wonderful lunch event featuring Gordon Chang, who is with us right now. We're going to talk some China, and he's going to cover a bunch of things in this fantastic event. It's at the Hilton Anatole. It's like noon to two, so just go to IPI.org, and there's Gordon's picture. Click on events, and you can go see him in person. But for a preview on that, and let's pick his brain right here on the phone. Gordon, welcome. It's nice to have you on the show again. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, and thank you so much, Mark.
Let's start at, I was going to say the 30,000-foot level, but with an odd space angle to what China is up to, it might even be a several miles up in orbit angle. But an overview of where we stand with China right now. Are they an enemy or just a rival? Or what? And we don't necessarily need one single noun, but what is the best way to view this regime, you know, in 2021?
Well, I will give you one single noun, and that is enemy. And that is the noun that China uses for us. May 2019, China declared a quote-unquote people's war on America. They did that through People's Daily, the most authoritative publication in China. And then in August, People's Daily and its Global Times paper as well, they engaged in a malicious campaign against the United States, accusing us of barbaric acts. I'm saying that we were working with China's enemies. This is really serious because China is laying the justification for a strike on the United States. We Americans had better start paying attention to what Beijing is saying about us.
A strike of what type?
That's a great question. We don't know, but we do know that China, for instance, unleashed the coronavirus on the U.S. We don't know exactly where this pathogen came from, but we do know that Chinese leaders made decisions to deliberately spread this beyond China's borders by lying about contagiousness and by forcing other countries to take arrivals from China while they were locking down their own country. As of this morning, that is 726,267 American deaths, including Colin Powell yesterday.
What was their goal? What was the sinister goal? We're almost speaking the language of biological weaponry, but what was their goal?
Their goal is to destroy the United States. And in the interim, they will do anything to weaken it, including spreading disease, selling fentanyl into the United States. Last year, that was 53,000 American deaths, give or take a couple thousand. China's goals are malicious. They tell us that they believe that they are the only sovereign state in the world, that they want to rule the entire world. They're also talking about ruling Mars and Moon, which means that it makes them the most aggressive, most ambitious leaders in history. We Americans ignored Osama bin Laden until 9/11, and then we started paying attention. Well, China is so much more powerful than Al-Qaeda ever was or ever could be.
Gordon Chang is here, and he'll be at lunch on for the IPI people on Friday. It's at the Hilton Anatole, and you can get tickets there at IPI.org. Sort of the theme is China Shakes the World, a revolutionary remaking of the international order. So if there's something that I've always thought, you try to discern and infer what the Chinese folk are up to and what their goals are. That's why I asked you that if they really are trying to like take us down or destroy us, don't they need an economically healthy United States in order for their economy to be healthy?
In the interim, that's yes. But China's ambitions are that they will own our economy. I mean, why trade with it? Why trade with it when you can own it? And essentially what we're seeing in China is an attempt to take down the U.S. Now, right now, China is really in trouble. It needs American dollars. We do not need another rescue by an American president of Chinese communism. We've had at least three in the past. We don't need another one right now, given China's malicious goals with regard to us. Helping them in the interim is not going to be good because it hasn't worked out in the past.
Reading things Gordon has written is a good idea. You can find him, you can Google him, or the best place is the Twitter feed at Gordon G. Chang, at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. So I'm old enough to remember Nixon and the opening of the fascination. It was like Nixon himself was going to the moon when he met with Mao, and there he is at Tiananmen Square. It was the opening. It was American TV cameras in China there in the early 70s. Was that a mistake, or was it just an opening that we then didn't follow? What would you, if you could go back in time 40, 50 years, what might we have done differently to avoid getting where we are today?
Yeah, Nixon going to China in 1972 was one of those three times that I talked about in terms of an American president rescuing China. It is the one time that one can make an argument that it was the right thing to do because we were engaged in the Cold War with the Soviet Union. But the Soviet Union was a lot weaker than Nixon thought. So he did not need to go to help to China to get its help, because we eventually would have prevailed over Moscow anyway. But there were two other times, George H.W. Bush in 1989 and Bill Clinton in 1999 rescued Chinese communism. And there's no justification for either of those, especially George H.W. Bush in the wake of Tiananmen Massacre. So we do not need a fourth rescue of Chinese communism, and I hope President Biden will not do that.
What were those rescues? Define a little bit of what those of the Bush 41 and Clinton quote unquote rescue of Chinese communism. What were those?
In 1989, President Bush sent Brent Scowcroft on a secret mission to China to say, "Don't worry about our sanctions in the wake of the Tiananmen massacre. We've got your back. We will support you." This was a time when Chinese communism could have fallen. 1999 was an especially weak period for China. They were going through a recession, one of the first in decades, and Clinton rescued them with a trade deal that eventually paved the way for China's entry into the World Trade Organization, which allowed China to use its WTO benefits and not, by and large, to adhere to many of its critical promises. So those were two other times where we actually came and helped Chinese communism survive very difficult patches.
If you paint a picture of an American official, you know, trying to comfort the Chinese, boy, you only go back not so very. How did the story strike you? And I know it's from the very controversial Bob Woodward book of the notion of Joint Chiefs Chairman Milley phoning up his Chinese counterpart to say, don't sweat it. Crazy Trump is not going to nuke Beijing. We got this. We'll let you know if anything gets hot.
Yeah, Milley's call was, I think, grounded on incorrect assumptions. Milley says, well, look, you know, China thought we were going to invade. There are no objective indications of that. There were no unusual movements of Chinese forces. There were no civilian preparations. And most indicative of all, there was no change in Chinese propaganda signaling that they thought that they were going to be attacked. So I think Milley actually was acting on an assumption which was not true. And what he did was, I think, embolden the Chinese, because what Milley was actually doing was saying that the U.S. was in political disarray and that he was then going beyond the chain of command. And I think that emboldened China to act even more aggressively and belligerently. So this was a mistake on all fronts. We could talk about the constitutional aspects of this. I mean, there is a constitutional route that Milley should have taken if he felt the president was not fit to serve as commander-in-chief. He didn't do that. He talked to an enemy, and I think that that had consequences that Milley did not intend, but I think he should pay for it with his job.
Should we boycott the Winter Olympics that are just a few months away in China?
We have an obligation under the Genocide Convention of 1948 to prevent and to punish acts of genocide. And that does not include, in my book, helping to bolster the Chinese regime by participating in their Olympics. Even more important, we should be going to the International Olympic Committee and demanding that the IOC ban Chinese participation in all Olympics. The IOC banned South Africa because a substantial portion of the South African population could not participate in sport because of apartheid. What China is doing is far worse than apartheid. You have Tibetans, Uyghurs, Kazakhs, and others not able to participate in sport. China should not be participating in any Olympics, even if it hosts one.
Is China flies jets over Taiwan all the time just as kind of an intimidating move. Do you think they ever sit down and plot the day when it's like, all right, let's test this American resolve. We are going to return these Taiwanese rogues to the to beneath the communist umbrella where they belong.
I think that it's certainly I think Beijing believes that it must at some point do that. Now, I don't think that they're planning it now, but one thing that we've got to worry about is not so much a Chinese planned invasion of Taiwan, but an accident in the air or on the sea, which becomes history's next great war. That is becoming increasingly probable because of Chinese dangerous maneuverings of its planes and its ships. So whether they plan an invasion or not, you can see that war is coming. There is a smell of war in the air, and I hope that we get through it. But remember, this is like 1937, when people could see war coming. They didn't know that it would come, but in fact it did. And in fact, what happened was worse than anyone ever thought at the time. We're in a comparable moment right now.
There's a bit of psychology that says that we so don't want it to happen that we can go into a form of denial. And I will tell you, at GordonChang.com or on the Twitter feed at Gordon G. Chang or at the IPI luncheon at the Anatole on Friday at noon, get your tickets at IPI.org. All kinds of clarity coming at you from one of the guys who's one of the top thinkers on the subject. Gordon, it's such an honor to have you. Really appreciate it. Safe travels here on Friday. Look forward to seeing you.
Well, it's an honor to be on your show, Mark, so thank you so much.
God bless. That's Gordon Chang. Twitter feed, again, is at Gordon G. Chang. And read all things Gordon at GordonChang.com. It is 9:22. All right. Well, that was refreshing. Holy cow. It is so easy to get into navel-gazing and hand-wringing and like, oh, China, it's so hard, it's so complicated. And it is, but sometimes, and it just if go get the podcast. Get the podcast every day. If there are parts of the show that you miss, there's magic happening. It's just it's always fun, man. It's always interesting and compelling. Go to 660amtheanswer.com, click podcast, and then My Happy Face, and then pick the hour you want. If you're just getting in the car like now, we just wrapped up a wonderful segment with Gordon Chang, and I asked him, I said, well, you know, how should we view China? Are they a rival? Are they an enemy? Are they an adversary? I mean, maybe it doesn't need to be just one noun. And he said, yeah, I got a noun for you. Enemy. That's how they view us. Then I asked him about Taiwan. They totally want Taiwan back, and they're just waiting for the opportunity to take it. And then I asked him about the Olympics. Heck yes, we ought to boycott the Olympics. And this is, every time we've talked about this, I mean, when the Summer Olympics were in China, we talked about this. And obviously we did boycott the Olympics once when they were in Moscow after Russia invaded Afghanistan. And was that the right thing? I mean, I guess it was. And it is so easy to get caught up in, you know, the athletes, the Olympics, and just these past Olympics were they were a joy. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a mess. The COVID stuff and the restrictions, you know, there in Tokyo. But I'm a sucker for the Olympics. I love it. And the individual achievement and the opportunity for the world to get together, blah, 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 kumbaya. I love that. But this time at the Winter Olympics, coming up in just a few months in 22, they are being hosted by an evil regime. And Gordon Chang's point is, not only should every nation with a conscience boycott these Olympics, but China itself, and this would be a tough sell in an Olympics held in China, should not be allowed to participate. The high and mighty International Olympic Committee banned South Africa for apartheid. Okay. The message there being, if your country has a policy that's bad enough, we don't let you play in the Olympics playground. Well, and I don't want to play can you top this with inhumanity and horrible policies, but I might suggest that Chinese communism, and in fact, I'm not even going to do it. Is that worse than apartheid? Is apartheid just whatever? That if, how about this? If apartheid can get your country bounced from the Olympics, the evils committed by this communist regime in China every day surely should 10 times over. So that's Gordon Chang. You can see him at lunchtime at the IPI event at the Anatole right there on Stemmons. So check that out at IPI.org. Get your tickets. Going to be more cool stuff like that. All right, let me hit the news with Gordon Griffin and come back and have various calls on various things. If you're on the line, be right with you first. 866-660-5759. A multi-topic Tuesday underway. Make it a part of your day. Thank you for being here. It's 931. Here's Gordon Griffin.
Breaking news, stimulating talk. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
Partly sunny and 61. I'm Gordon Griffin. The gang that kidnapped 17 Christian missionaries in Haiti over the weekend is demanding $17 million in ransom. The gang grabbed the 16 Americans and one Canadian after they visited an orphanage near Port-au-Prince on Saturday. The people being held inside include 7 women, 5 men, and 5 children, one of them an 8-month-old baby. Country music icon Travis Tritt is canceling 4 upcoming shows because of COVID mandates. He refuses to play in Indiana, Mississippi, Illinois, and Kentucky cities where fans must either show proof of a vaccination or a negative test. Amazon will be hiring tens of thousands of people from coast to coast to get packages processed and delivered this holiday season.
Amazon is looking to hire 150,000 people to meet the shopping and shipping demand this holiday season. The online retailer says average starting pay is $18 an hour, with sign-on bonuses for some jobs and additional wages for certain shifts. Amazon says many of its seasonal workers come back year after year to earn some holiday cash, while other temp workers have gone on to full-time permanent jobs with the company. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Abundant sunshine in the Metroplex today with a high around 80, but it'll be windy too. Wind gusts from the south up to 25 miles per hour in the mid-60s tonight, back up to the 80s tomorrow. Now you know what's going on. I'm Gordon Griffin on 660 AM, The Answer.
Traffic Watch.
Two big issues on 75 Central. If you're heading southbound, there's a wreck in Plano at Spring Creek Parkway. That's in the two right lanes. It's heavy all the way to Bethany coming out of Allen. And then southbound 75 at Coit, that's the earlier vehicle fire. They've got it tapped out, but extremely slow traffic starting way back at Brenner Road. Got road construction up again today. Westbound I-30 between 360 and Ballpark Way. The two left lanes are blocked. That's stacking traffic up from Great Southwest Parkway. Just had a wreck reported on Loop 12 northbound at I-35E in the right lane. Now you know what's going on. I'm Michael Scott on 660 AM, The Answer Traffic Watch.
We love our cellular shades from Blinds.com. They're beautiful and make our entire house feel more like home.
Thousands of customers update their home every month with Blinds.com. Whether you just moved to a new place or just want to give your home a little love this fall, go to Blinds.com for brand new window treatments and make your house feel more like home. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable to upgrade your whole house with the latest styles, premium materials, and even motorization, with no hidden fees or misleading quotes. Not sure where to start? Get advice from a Blinds.com professional design consultant for free. Whether you want to do it yourself or have them handle the measuring and installation for you, Blinds.com has you covered with free shipping and a 100% guaranteed perfect fit. Go to Blinds.com now to shop and save up to 35% off site-wide. That's Blinds.com for up to 35% off. Blinds.com. Pay over time with PayPal credit at Blinds.com. PayPal credit is subject to credit approval. Visit Blinds.com/PayPal for details. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In this crazy home buying market, it almost feels like you need to know someone just to compete. Well, you do, and you can, with a little help from NASA Federal and the Launchpad Home Loan. Yeah, that NASA. And you don't have to be an astronaut to join. We've already got those. With NASA Federal on your side, you could be a whole lot more competitive with more money to spend, zero money down, and no PMI. Get pre-approved, and you'll know exactly how big to dream and be ready to close even faster. So get competitive. Get the Launchpad Home Loan from NASA Federal at nasafcu.com/compete. It's an easy application and features real live expert people on your side to make sure the whole process is friendly and smooth. That's NASAFCU.com/compete. NASA Federal. Smart. NASA Smart. Equal housing lender. Insured by NCUA. Membership eligibility required. Offer valid on approval of credit for primary residences. Other restrictions apply. NMLS number 486583.
Plumbing leaks beneath your home and deteriorating cast iron sewer lines can be detrimental to your home's foundation and can be very costly to repair or replace. Accurate Leak and Lines team of master plumbers utilizes no-dig trenchless plumbing technology along with conventional excavation and rerouting methods to replace these aging systems externally with no cosmetic damage to the interior of your home. For more information, go to AccurateLeak.com and schedule a free inspection with one of our master plumbing slab leak technicians. AccurateLeak.com. That's AccurateLeak.com. Texas Master Plumbing License 38912.
Compassion Roofing is there for you. Obviously, they are a roofing company, but boy, are they far, far more. At Compassion Roofing, they will do remodeling for you. They will do restoration for you. Anything you call insurance for, you know, roof leak, roof collapse, water damage of some type, please, Lord, let us not have a more busted pipes winter, but we might. And if so, we might need Compassion Roofing. In my case, might need them again, because they did so much great work, putting my house back together after we had busted pipes all over. Anything you call insurance for, call Compassion Roofing same day. Now let's talk remodeling. That's just something you decide you want to do. Something you want a better bathroom, a better kitchen, some flooring, some cabinetry, just a part of the house you want to spruce up. Something just doesn't quite look right. You'd like it to look real pretty. They can do all of those things for you. Great prices, great people. Corey McLaughlin, great guy. 855-ROOF-107, 855-ROOF-107, or CompassionRoofing.com. CompassionRoofing.com.
Take the answer wherever you go with our mobile app through TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
Well, I'm traveling man to fix your legs. It's hard to settle down, but I'm stuck here in the flatland.
Little Doobie Brothers from Stampede. Neil's Fandango. On the vocal, Mr. Patrick Simmons.
Going back in the time of home, going free out of the mountain home.
It was 73 today.
To the place where I spent my youth.
All righty, 866-660-5759. Let me head straight to your calls. Let me throw you a little inside intel here. Everybody, they people tell me stuff, and I appreciate that they tell me stuff. And, As far as what's going on in the Carroll ISD, what's going on in Southlake, here's the testimony about a particular classroom. And I was talking about this book, How to Be Anti-Racist, by this radical professor, Ibram X. Kendi. And look, I would never go looking to have his book taken off store shelves. If you want to immerse yourself in the racial radicalization of everything and just to get a big old how-to on how to view life through the poisonous lens of racial grievance, knock yourself out. It's a free country. But to have this kind of societal poison in a school curriculum, that's a very different thing. And it was. And apparently, like in elementary school, are you kidding me? So don't tell me that the tentacles of CRT are not trying to take hold in the Carroll ISD in Southlake. Snippets.
in that same realm, a teacher sought to, and no, and this is totally anecdotal, but, and while anecdotal, meaning just something that happened that may or may not be indicative of a broad trend, just because something is anecdotal, that doesn't mean that it's pervasive, but it also doesn't mean that it's false. So if you have just one example of a teacher trying to wedge between what the school says and what the parents say, and a teacher who said that Christopher Columbus was a terrible man, a savage murderer, and that we should shelve him and instead celebrate only Indigenous Peoples Day, and this was to 8-year-olds. And when you have a teacher quoted as saying, "I'm not saying your parents are racist, but it's my job to make sure that you're not." God help us. Well, actually, we don't need, we do need God to help us, but sometimes God helps us in the form of people running for the school board like Andrew Yeager. And it was a joy to meet him. We had another reason to get the podcast for today. And that was at 8:35. We had Andrew Yeager, and he's running for that open slot on the Carroll School Board. Andrew Yeager, Y-E-A-G-E-R, number4CISD.com to learn more. All righty, let's do some phone calls. Been a big busy day. Lots of stuff going on. 866-660-5759. We are in Arlington. Steve, thank you for hanging on. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, Mark, what a day.
Tell me.
Oh, man, you're going to go home so tired.
I'm energized. I'm in no ways tired.
No, I know that. I know you feed on this, but I also know that it takes energy to do. Can you cover the entire history of the Holocaust without mentioning the fact that there's a group of people that would deny that it ever happened?
Here's a funny thing. In college, let's say, this is kind of like how I felt about Ibram X. Kendi's book. If you've got a course that is so sharp and wise and ambitious, let's say it's a discussion of, you know, racial attitudes in America, does Dr. Kendi belong in that? Absolutely. Because race baiters and radicals are part of the debate. Absolutely. And by the way, the instructor wouldn't even have to portray him as that. Let everybody figure out what they think, and that's what college used to be about. Should instruction about the Holocaust contain mention of, acknowledgement of, the sliver of attitudes that is Holocaust denial? I think in the same kind of a very upper level, let's examine everything, because I will tell you that addressing Holocaust denial is not so much scholarship about the Holocaust, because it has no place in it. It's about scholarship in human psychology, about what there is about people that would lead them to be Holocaust deniers, what there is about people that would lead them to hold any one of a number of bizarre fringe attitudes. So I think by the time a kid graduates from college, maybe even high school, they should know that such people exist. I think it's a good idea to tell once, not when they're 9, but by the time, upper high school, college, I think kids should be aware of almost every corridor, large and small, of attitudes, both mainstream and extreme, on all sides, so that they can figure out for themselves what they think about them. So that'd be my long answer. What do you think?
Well, I think that I agree. I believe that there's a time, and that one of the important parts about preparing someone, because they're going to encounter that counter belief, you have to let them know it exists, and then let them know why you think it is incorrect. And
I'd rather do that than have a kid, than have somebody grow up to be 25 and run across an acquaintance or two who goes, "Yeah, that whole Holocaust thing, that didn't really happen, or it's wildly overstated." What? I'd rather have somebody know that's coming. But here's a weird thing that occurred to me. It's 9/11 is the teaching of history as well. Now, I mean, it's funny. It's sure. 20 years now. 9/11 is the teaching of history. At what is there a point in high school where we should include in our treatment of 9/11 the fact that there are so-called 9/11 truthers who believe that it was an inside job? Should we, and pardon the way this sounds, should we honor those lunatics by mentioning to 17-year-olds that they're out there too?
And in high school, yeah.
Or I mean, because here's the weird thing. Here's the weird thing. You've taken me down a wonderful road because to that one, for some reason, I find myself. Exactly right. Should we reserve part of science class for the flat earthers? I am taken back to one of my favorite quotes by anybody anywhere. It's William James, the father of modern psychology, who said the following. Part of wisdom, a huge part of wisdom, is knowing what to ignore. A huge part of wisdom is knowing what to ignore. I had one of the many fascinating conversations I've had with Mark Cuban over the years. He was helping to bankroll or offering up some theater space for some documentary that was about the 9/11 truthers. And we talked about it at that time. It was probably 12 years ago. And he talked about having an open mind. And my quote that I gave to him, and I don't know who coined this, it is possible to have a mind so open that your brains fall out. And so this, boy, Steve, I can't thank you enough. Fascinating topic. I love it. Answers will differ. Answers will absolutely differ. What do you in terms of fringe things, odd things, slivers of belief, counterintuitive belief? Things that have been largely swallowed by the orthodoxy. Do you tell kids in high school or college that such beliefs exist? I mean, my overall thought is I think you think about doing so. And that gives you that moment of an open mind. It's like, okay. Let's consider whether we should, include the beliefs of the 9/11 truthers in a discussion of 9/11. I'm going to go with no on that because that is a stone cold mental illness. Now, it isn't, but what's okay? Holocaust denial. What's the deal there? In many cases, here's the reason why not when you're teaching 14-year-olds about, Hitler and the Third Reich. Oh, by the way, there are people who say the Holocaust didn't exist. Nah, college level, almost a sociology course of how people rush into the fray with all kinds of different attitudes. Because the thing about Holocaust denial is, well, that's a bit of a mental disconnect as well. What you can then pivot into there is a pretty tasty examination of anti-Semitism. So, in Kemp, Texas, Rick, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Hey, I'm an older person, probably like your age. And,
thanks a lot. I'm teasing.
I've been going back to school, and I took a history class, and in my history class, they were talking about the Holocaust, and so. Just to do it, the following day, I brought back pictures of my family. We're all Jewish. Mm-hmm. And the professor there said those were all fake pictures. Holocaust didn't exist.
Okay, what?
It's just a made-up fragment of our mind.
Who said this?
Oh, it was my history professor.
Okay, where was this?
At Trinity Valley College.
Which is where?
Terrell.
Okay, and when might this have happened?
This was in last year in 2020 before the COVID happened. I was taking the class I just happened to get a liberal history teacher.
Well, that ain't liberalism. That's pathology of a highly different order. So you're telling me that at this school that where they that's down the road, there's a history professor who doubted the very existence of the Holocaust.
Yeah, plus he doubted my pictures. They were all black and white. They showed my They showed a lot of my ancestors on their knees. With their hands behind their head, and they were getting ready to be shot.
Why am I having a heart? Okay, boy, maybe it's just because it's so profoundly outlandish, and I might want to ask a favor. So you're sure about this, right? I mean,
yes. And he had told the kids in class that, you know, don't believe stuff like this. This is the way the far right is. They try to push it out, and then I brought up the fact.
Are you sure you understood him correctly? Are you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. Because I talked with the other history teacher that was a female. She's a conservative. And she said, oh, I wish I would have known you. I could have told you to take my class. She goes, he pulls this stuff all the time.
How is he still working? How in God's name is he still teaching history? Just how, please?
I do not know.
Okay, here's what I need you to do this for me, if you would, please. I'm going to put you, first of all, thank you. Appreciate the story. Here, back on, Ron is going to pick up. I need the name of this professor, and this is something I need to look into, and I will. So, Rick, hang on a second. Rhonda, there is Rick on line three, and Talk Show Boy has some homework to do. Let me share a little story on the basis of on the foundation of welcoming unpopular views and being willing to consider, you know, virtually anything. I mean, just for if only for a moment. When I was in my previous stop in life at WRC in Washington from 1990 to 94, I got a book in the mail, and it was about Holocaust denial. And I was morbidly fascinated by it. I said, who are these people? What do they think? And look, you know me. I do this all the time. I'm fascinated by divergent views. It's like, why do people feel that way? Had the guy on as a guest and kind of, you know, I mean, I was a gracious host, but I pressed him for 15 solid minutes. It's like, what? How do you believe that? What's the basis of that? And that garnered the attention of the local ADL and the freshly opened Holocaust Museum in Washington. They were not happy with me. And so I welcomed folks from both organizations to the show. And in what I think was a great, and in fact, I had folks from the ADL writing the Holocaust Museum saying, you don't know who you're dealing with here. This is Mark Davis. He welcomes every view, if only for a moment, if only to discredit it. Don't turn a friend into an enemy. And we navigated that skillfully and well, and it was that was wild. It was something. That was like 25 years ago. I just thought of it. All right, got to get out of here. Exit tune next. On the birthday of Pat Simmons of the Doobie Brothers, here's a little instrumental of his from Stampede called the Slat Key Soquel Rag. We'll let him take us out. Nice little piece of music for you on a Tuesday. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland, on Twitter at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K, Mr. Matt with the technical guru skills, and Gordon with the news. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday. Mike Gallagher is next. See you tomorrow morning for the Wednesday show. I'm Mark Davis right here on 660 AM The Answer. Be good. Have a great day.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.